Welcome to the Treasury of Solomon, where we go verse by verse through the book of Proverbs to find the wisdom that God has for us. Today's verse is Proverbs 1:14. It says, "Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse." In the Classic Amplified Bible, this verse is translated as, "Throw in your lot with us, they insist, and be a sworn brother and comrade. Let us all have one purse in common." The people speaking here are still the sinners first referred to in verse 10. The wicked men, the band of highway robbers, who were trying to persuade a man to join their ranks. Their attempt at persuasion and enticement we find both in verses 11 and 13, and now also in the 14th verse. In verses 11 and 12, we found them enticing the man with the thought of murdering an innocent man without cause, and then in verse 13, we find them enticing him with promises of wealth and an abundance of precious substances, enough to fill their homes with, all gone through robbery. This verse is a continuation of their enticement as it relates to wealth. It's an extension of what we found in verse 13. Verse 13 told us, "We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil." The promise of great reward for easy and little labor was what they were offering. They were promising the equivalent of what we now call a get-rich-quick scheme. They were promising all the profit when none of the work that normally attends such a reward. As we know from our own experience and observation, get-rich-quick schemes never work, and they never will. They're built off of a false premise, going against all the natural laws that are inherent in basic economics, and naturally, they always collapse and fail, and those involved are always left off worse because of it. Many find themselves in financial ruin, betrayed by people that they thought to be their friends, and sometimes they even find themselves to have run afoul of the law. None of those are good. And we definitely don't want any of those things to be a part of our story. This is why we should take warning from what we find in these verses. These are things that we don't want to get involved with. The people propagating these schemes are the same as the highway robbers. They're thieves, plunderers, and malicious people, influenced by the devil to steal, kill, and destroy. The last phrase of the verse said, "Let us all have one purse." This gets to the heart of the matter here. They wanted to amalgamate and join all their money together into one combined stash. The problem with this is that the result is the same as what's promised by communism, not in the political sense, but in the economic sense. Everything belongs equally to every member of the community, and in this specific case, all the money belongs equally to all the robbers. But the problem with this, as has been in evidence especially in the last two centuries, is that 90% of the people do little to no work, putting forth minimal labor, while 10% do all the work, but all reap the same results from the communal purse, which disincentivizes people from working hard and putting forth their best effort, and it disincentivizes people from innovating and improving themselves in their output. If that's true in natural societies, we can be absolutely sure that it's even more true in the spiritual sense. The devil lures you into his band of robbers to have you do all the work, while he reaps the rewards of your labor for him. He makes you a slave, doing all his dirty work, while he comfortably sits back, watching and mocking you all along. His playbook never changes. The robbers were promising this man the communal purse, which sounds good at first, especially if you don't think it through or give him much thought, but were neglecting to tell him that they were going to profit off the work that he was doing, while they did less or no work themselves. That's what the devil always does. He uses you for his purposes, and then he discards you like you're nothing, because in his view, you are nothing. They were promising the man friendship, which is an intrinsic desire of all men. We all want friends. We all want to be loved and valued by our companions. That's why they called him brother and comrade. Many are drawn down the paths of the wicked with the false promise of friendship, only to find that what the devil really gives you isn't friendship at all. It's superficial. There's no real depth or reality to it. It's fair-weather friendship, only there when you're doing what he wants you to do. The minute you stop following his orders, he's nowhere to be found. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Friendship with the world and those living in the world, those who have no inclination to the things of God and those who actively work against God and his purposes, will lead us down the path to destruction. But the good news is that we don't have to go that way. God knows that we have a need for friendship, which is why he promises to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that friend is Jesus. The first half of the verse told us, "Cast in thy lot among us." Lot in the Hebrew usually either means inheritance or as in the casting of lots to see how to dispense or dispose of certain things, like when the Roman soldiers cast lots to part the garments of Jesus. In this specific scenario that we're dealing with here, casting lots to dispense of something would directly contradict the idea of having one communal purse, because that would mean that only one person would get the spoil, instead of the whole band sharing in it equally. So we know that that's not the sense of casting lots used here. This means inheritance. They were enticing the man to cast his inheritance, all his hard-earned money, all his savings, into their communal purse, to use to fund their excursions and their ambushes. This is like what we find with the prodigal son. He received the inheritance from his father. He met up with vain men, just like the ones here doing the enticing, and was led into a far country where he spent the inheritance on riotous living. And in the end, he was eating the food and the slop that the pigs ate. He put all his money in with the wrong people. He spent it unwisely and spent it on things that provide no return on the investment. The result is a wasted inheritance. The robbers were enticing their planned victim to do the same thing. What they really wanted wasn't him. It was his money, which is always a hallmark of fake people. People who aren't true friends, but are just there to use you. As much as they were inducing him to rob with them, they were really at the same time planning on robbing him of his inheritance, which shows even another element of their cruelty. The devil wants to take your money, your resources, your dreams and hopes, your future, your peace and joy, your family, your everything. He wants all that you have for his own evil purposes, which enriches him and in the end impoverishes you and leaves you with nothing. The last element of this that we need to look at is what we found in the classic Amplified. It said, they insist. After the devil tries to entice you, appealing to your carnal, natural desires, hoping you'll come along with him of your own free will, when your conscience then starts to resist and hesitate, telling you that you shouldn't go along, as you intuitively feel like something is off about all this, he then starts to insist. He wants to pressure you. He wants to cloud your judgment, to give you no time or space to think about what's really happening. He wants you to feel like you need to decide right now, and that there's no going back on it. In this way, he gets many to go down his dark path. The man the robbers were enticing and insisting on to join them is really us. This is exactly how the devil tempts us. It may be different in the specifics, but the general idea is exactly the same. When the devil tries to insist, we need to resist. That's the antidote. We push back against him, standing on the word of God. And when we do, we know from the book of James that we're promised that he will flee. All the devil's offers are false counterfeits that promise to meet your most natural and intrinsic needs, while he pulls us away from God, who's the real true source of all that we need and want in this life. Let's close in prayer. Lord, today we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you've given us your wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Lord, when evil and vain men try to lie to us and entice us and insist that we go with them, Lord, we ask for the gift of discernment to see their lies for what they are. And Lord, we ask for the wisdom and the courage and the strength to be able to say no, to be able to resist, to push back against the enemy, and to stand on the word of God. Lord, we know and we claim in faith the promise that when we resist the devil, that he will flee. Lord, we thank you that you've given us power over all the power of the enemy, that you've given us the power to walk on serpents and adders and scorpions. Lord, today we resist and we rebuke the enemy's attacks that try to pull us away from you. And Lord, today we make our desire known that we are going to draw nigh to you. And Lord, we know that when we do, that you'll draw nigh to us. And Lord, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today. Remember before you leave to hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, and remember to like and comment below. The wisest thing we can ever do is give our lives to Christ and be born again. If you want to have Jesus as a part of your life today, all you need to do is invite him into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior. You trust him that you're forgiven, and you choose to live for him who died for you. We'll see you next time as we continue to explore the treasury of Solomon and study the King's Word together.